We're going to pick up in the 11th verse of the 9th chapter, the second half of the chapter, really. In the first half, we were introduced to the idea of the new covenant, and it provides a better promise, a better sanctuary, and a better sacrifice. And we looked at this sanctuary, this earthly sanctuary, 3 weeks ago, if you'll remember, which was described as being a copy and a shadow of the tabernacle that was to come, described as having fleshly ordinances that were imposed upon us until the time of the Reformation. And it was very limited in its ability to provide what we really need. And we're going to talk about all those things again as we look at the true sanctuary, the one that Christ is a minister in, the one that is the true tabernacle that the Lord erected and not man. There still is a remnant of the earthly tabernacle in Jerusalem. They call it the Wailing Wall. That's the foundation wall of the great temple that was there, the Herodian edition of that temple. But we're talking, starting with verse number 11, about the heavenly tabernacle, the great and the perfect tabernacle. What a difference in the description between the two. The one was earthly, the one was limited, the one was a shadow. And now we're talking about the one that wasn't made with hands. The idea that it wasn't of this creation, it wasn't of this earth. It wasn't something you could go up and grab a hold of. It wasn't something that you can do as the Jews do today and write their prayers out on little slips of paper and put it between the cracks of the blocks of the foundation. It was a tabernacle that's not of this creation. Well, where is it? What is this tabernacle? If you look down in verse number 24, you get a pretty good idea of it. It says, in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, in verse number 24, that Christ has entered the holy place, not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So the true tabernacle, the tabernacle that's not made with hands, is heaven itself. It is not the place that Jesus could not enter into, because he wasn't of the right tribe. He was not of the right people. He was not someone who was given the privilege of going into the holy place, or even certainly not the most holy place. But it is the place where he now appears in the presence of God Almighty himself, that superior sanctuary, that sanctuary that is not of this earth, where Jesus serves as our high priest. The one that has made the sacrifice, the one who's able to deliver to us the wonderful blessings that are described in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, verses 31 through 34, which tells us that he's not going to remember our sins anymore. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Did you ever have somebody get mad at you and bring up something you did a long time ago? I can remember back in 2002 you did this. God won't do that. He doesn't remember our sins anymore. They're gone. We're never going to have to face them again. That's an awful thing. It's a very painful thing to continually, over and over, be pounded with mistakes, with sins that we have done in the past. We sometimes do that to ourselves. We keep bringing up and remembering and beating ourselves up for something that we've done in the past. That God's already forgiven us. What a wonderful place it is. This heavenly sanctuary. This superior sanctuary. That verses 12 through 15 tells us that its ministry deals with sin. It is able to take care of the sin problem that all of us have. And for this reason, he's the mediator of a new covenant by the means of death for the redemption of the transgressions of the first covenant, that those who were called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Think about that. All of those folks back under the Old Testament time, Moses and Isaac and Jacob and Jeremiah and Daniel and all of the unnamed ones who were saints in those days, who lived according to the law, who offered the blood sacrifices that still carried the guilt of that sin, their sins were taken care of just exactly as ours were. When Jesus went into the heavenly place, we're told in verse number 12 that it wasn't with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place. If the earthly sanctuary had to be dedicated, had to be sanctified by blood, would not the heavenly one need it also? We're told that the blood of bulls and goats and heifers and sprinkling of the unclean, that sanctified the purifying of the flesh. But we don't have that. There's a major difference between our high priest and the high priest of the earth. Number one, it wasn't the bulls and goats, but it was the blood of Christ himself. And number two, he entered in it once for all time, not on a yearly basis. And it was with his own blood that he obtained the eternal salvation. That's why he doesn't need to offer it every year. The blood of bulls and goats in the earthly sanctuary, that would cover it for 1 year. Then God said there was another day of atonement coming. And you had to remember again all of the sins that you had, and they had to be covered again for 1 year. And then you had to remember. Isn't that depressing to even think about? Wouldn't that be discouraging to think about? Had to sit down and think and realize what it is. And year after year after year after year after year, the same sacrifice. Jesus is eternal. He did it once, and it's over with. And verses 13 and 14 tell us that at that time, we had our conscience cleared. Our conscience cleared. I no longer am under the guilt of sin. I no longer have to be concerned with purifying my flesh again and again and again and again. But the blood of Jesus Christ was able to purge our conscience from dead works. The things that we had done in the past, the sins, and then I can serve the living God. You know, when your mind is split, when you're worrying about one thing and worrying about another, in our fleshly life today, we do that often. I've got a daughter over in Indianapolis, as you know, that's recovering from very extensive surgery, and I got another daughter that's getting ready to deliver down in Florence, Alabama. We got a call in the middle of the night, which was a wrong number, by the way, but we were just scared to death that was going to be Jessica calling up to say, "Mom, I started into labor." And there we are over there with Jana taking care of her. And what do you do? Say, "Well, honey, sorry about that. Hope you get well." Jump in the car and go. Or do you say, "Well, I hope you deliver fine, and we'll be down in a couple weeks." Split minds, split obligations, worries and concerns. I'm a sinner, but I want to serve God. And I worry about I've got the guilt of this sin, and I want to do this. I don't have that anymore. Our conscience should be clear. We've been washed clean by the blood of Christ. His blood obtained that eternal redemption. He doesn't have to do it year after year after year. And my conscience is clean. We're told in Hebrews 9, 9, and 10 that the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do that. It could not do that. He not only removed the legal guilt of sin, But he removed the emotional guilt of sin. And they're two different things. Two different things altogether. There are many people that have paid the fine for something they've done and still feel bad about doing it. Still carry the emotional guilt of something they've done. Jesus covered all of that. And he did it not only for us, but he also did it for those that were under the Old Testament, the first covenant, that were called according to the promise of eternal salvation. That's you and me, as well as Moses and Isaac and Jacob. We're all covered by the blood of Christ. He truly obtained eternal salvation for all of us. But you know, when the tabernacle was dedicated, there was a sacrifice that was made. And there was blood that was sprinkled. And there was a sacrifice that was made to initiate this New Testament. We're told in verses 16 and 17 that it's only with the death of the testator, the one who has originated the testament, that a testament comes into effect. Many of us have wills today, deciding how our inheritance is to be divided up. But you know, as long as we're still alive, we can change that. And many people have. I'm not giving that kid anything. Look at this, he's off living some wild and terrible life, and all I'm going to do is enable him to continue to live that kind of life. So I'm going to give it all to somebody else. We can do that. Until we die. And then what it is when we die is what it is. It's dedicated, if you will, this new covenant with its earthly sanctuary is like a testament. It required the death of Jesus Christ to become in force. As long as he was alive, he could talk about it, and he did. He could preach about this coming kingdom, and he did. He could talk about this New Testament that's going to be, and he did, and he sent out his disciples throughout the Gospels to go preach the coming of the kingdom. And then when he died, it was here. The tabernacle under the Old Testament was dedicated with the blood of bulls and goats. The furniture was dedicated. The tabernacle was dedicated. The priests were dedicated by the blood of Christ, or the blood of bulls and goats. If the first one did, don't you think the second one would too? Jesus' blood was required for the purification of you and me. For us to have our sins taken away. Verses 24 through 28 tell us that the ministry of this new tabernacle is one that's final and it's complete. It says Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. The high priest would go into the most holy place where there was the presence of God at the Ark of the Covenant, and he would plead for the sins of the people. Jesus has gone into the most holy place, the presence of God in heaven, to plead for you and me. You see, Christ didn't finish his work and sit down somewhere and wait till the end of time. He, on a daily basis, is taking care of the sins, the mistakes that we make. And aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful? Would you like to face the sins from the day you were baptized until the day you die? Every word you said you shouldn't have, every action you did that you shouldn't have done, every action you should have done and you didn't do, every kind word you should have said and you didn't. I wouldn't want to face those. But Jesus Christ is continuing his ministry. He's continuing it on a daily basis. He's ministering daily for you and me. But he only had to offer the sacrifice one time. One time. And then he could say, God, these are mine. I've paid for them. My blood has been shed for them. They have submitted themselves to me. The all-sufficiency of his sacrifice is absolutely staggering when we think about it. He put away sin once and for all if we're willing to let him. Just as a man dies but once, and after that the judgment, Jesus died but once, that we might not fear that judgment. Last couple verses talks about the idea when he comes again. And what an exciting thing to think about. You know, what a tremendous time to look forward to. Something that, I mean, it's just so exciting, something that just almost beyond our imagination. When he came the first time, he came as a sin bearer. His primary job was to seek and to save those that were lost, as Andy read for us. His job was to come and to pay the price for our sins. But when he comes back again, it'll be apart from sin. That will already have been taken care of. His job then will to be bring salvation. Salvation from the wrath of God. Salvation for each of us. As 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10 said, who eagerly await for him. Does that describe you? Are you eagerly waiting for him? Is that something that you even think about? You know, Jesus is coming. And man, I can't wait. I equate this to Elijah's coming. My grandson down in Florence. And I can't wait. Got a card from the hospital, or when I was in the hospital, from Elijah. This is Jessica, of course. But it was addressed from Elijah to me. It said, Grandpa, I hope you get well soon. Because I can't wait for you to come and see me. Elijah. I lay there and cried. It's just this, the joy and the excitement. The ministry of Jesus Christ prepares us for that coming judgment. His daily ministry prepares us. Hebrews the 5th chapter, verse 8 and 9, tells us that he is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. So part of the preparation that Jesus has done for us, our part of it is to obey the preparation that he's made. To have the things ready. So that when it's time, you know, Sandy and I have joked about that, preparation and planning ahead and getting things ready ahead of time has not really been our strong suit throughout the years. But I said, we're liable to get a phone call. I'm going into labor. 1 o'clock in the morning. We're going to need to jump out of bed, throw our clothes on, grab a suitcase and go. Not start thinking, well, let's see, what do I want to take? I want to take, no, I don't want to take that. I want to take it. I don't want to do that. I want to throw clothes on, grab a suitcase and go. It's already packed. Matter of fact, already sitting by the door. Maybe even already in the car. Because I'm liable to run out the door and leave the suitcase sitting there. With Don, I jumped in the car and started it up and started to back up and realized I didn't have Sandy. I mean, I only got, you know, maybe 2 feet or something like that. But she's standing there, hands on her hips, looking at me. What about me? Don't I need to go too? Now, I know I'm going to be excited when I get that phone call. So like I said, I really would like to have that suitcase already in the car. Get your suitcase already in the car for when Jesus comes. Are you prepared? I mean, if he came right now, would you say hallelujah and be ready to meet him right now? Has the blood of Christ purged your conscience of dead works? Has the blood of Christ washed your soul so that it's clean and white, ready to stand in the presence of God? Have you been living a life of obedience to that precious gospel of Christ, ready to receive the blessing of the sacrifice that was made for us, knowing that he's coming, knowing that he's coming to bring salvation and not condemnation? Are you ready? Because he is bringing condemnation to those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. We don't want to hear that. Depart from me, I never knew you. But there's only going to be two things said that day. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me. Which are you going to hear? My prayer is that all of us will hear that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Heaven is there for us, but it's only a prepared place for a prepared people. Are you prepared? Can we help? Please, won't you give us that opportunity? Won't you do it right now, while we stand and while we sing?